Okay. I was watching Lawrence of Arabia last night. Has anybody ever seen Lawrence of Arabia? It's a really long movie.
Peter O'Toole.
It's an interesting movie. He becomes the leader of these Arabs. And so I watched it because Judah Isaacs told me that if you ever want to understand sort of Arab mentality, a lot of things about the Chumash also, you want to understand their, you know, the importance of the water.
The movie Cartoon is the same thing.
Oh, yeah?
Same mentality.
So you should watch that movie. So it is very interesting. So at one point, he's the leader of all these Arab people, and the Turks are searching for him. They offer 20,000 pounds on his head. They offered a bounty. And they're searching for him, and for some reason, he goes straight into the city where the Turks are, because he thinks that he can, like, sort of slip through. I don't really understand. Nobody really understands why he does that. He just does it. And we're going to see sort of the same thing today. So last we spoke, David, we're in chapter 21. Last we spoke, David HaMelech has learned that it's over. Will be no reparation between him and Shaul. At least not in the current format.
He finally got it.
What?
He said he finally got it.
See, it's interesting because even now he hasn't gotten there. Because now we all know the story, but we have to talk about it in greater depth. You know the story with the coat, that he cuts the coat, he doesn't cut, you know what I'm saying?
He won't kill him.
He can't kill him, and he's trying to get Shaul to trust him, but it's over. So now what do you do? What do you do? The king is trying to kill you.
You run and try and stay out of his way.
Oh, that a dog.
Okay, good. Where do you go?
Back home. Somewhere safer.
Wait, back home? Back home is safe?
You try and get...
What's the problem with back home? What's the problem with back home?
He knows where
he lives.
Yeah, and he knows where you live. He's going to try to find you.
You want to get off the radar.
Okay. But nobody knows your name. Right. They say it was interesting. One of the things that the GSS guy, the Avi Dichter from the Shin Bet, told us, he said they know for a fact, they don't always know when the attacks happen, but they know for a fact that whenever there are like rockets shot from Gaza into Israel, they know for a fact that the Palestinian Authority knew about it before it was going to happen. You know, and people always talk. There's always informers, there's always people, everybody knows. So everybody talks to somebody else. And then you talk about the Jewish people. Everybody's their own, you know, their third cousin once removed. So where do you go? It's a very interesting dilemma. How do you run? Who do you run to? And David is faced with that difficult, vexing crowd. So where does he go? Vayakam Yonatan. Vayakam Vayilach. He got up and went. He doesn't say where he went. Vayonatan Bahair. Yonatan came to the city. Vayavo David Nova El Achimelech HaKohen. Ah, so where does David go? He goes to the famous city called Nov Ir HaKohanim. Okay, if you look on the first page, you have a bunch of sheets, right? Confusion reigns, and we're gonna see. This map, it was originally in color, so it's a little hard to follow, but if you follow where David starts, he starts at Gibad Binyamin, right? Who's in Gibad Binyamin? That's Shaul. He went to Ramah. Who was in Ramah? Remember? No one? Shmuel was in Ramah. So then he runs back, and then he goes to Nob Ir HaKohanim. He runs to Nob. It's unclear why they say he goes to Beit Lechem. From Nob, we're going to see he runs to Gat. So those are the places we see him running to now. Okay, so what does he run to Nob for? What does he run to the Ir HaKohanim? How?
I have protected him before, no?
Who protected him? Not Nov. He's never been to Nov, not in our story.
No, but...
Where did he go for protection before?
To Shmuel.
To Shmuel. So it sort of makes sense. Where are you going to go? You're going to go to, like, the Kohen. You're going to go to the priest. You're going to try to find a place that's going to be safe for you. Okay. Vayavo David Nova el Achimelech HaKohen. So he went to Achimelech. Vayacherad Achimelech likrat David. Achimelech literally means he hurried. You ever heard of the term Haredi? Haredim are, the people are Haredim because they're called Haredim Lifnei Hashem. It means to tremble before God. Right? So it says he trembled to meet David. Why did he tremble? Well, Yomer lo, madu ata levadecha v'inji enitach. He tells him, he says, hey David, what are you doing alone? Meaning, he knows who David is. David is the chief of staff of the army. So what would you do if Donald Rumsfeld showed up here one day alone? Yeah.
And everyone knows that he's running away. Why he's running away?
No.
Nobody knows.
What?
It's not well known.
I mean, David himself didn't even know. People in the king's court knew, but I don't think anybody else knew. So it's not clear who knows. It's clear that he doesn't know. But Yomer David la'achi melech ha'koi. So David said, Hamel tzivani davar, v'yomer elai, ish al yedah mu'umah et ha'davar asher anisha lechecha v'asher tziviticha. So David lies to him. He says, I'm on a secret mission. The king sent me on a secret mission. V'at hana'arim yodati el makom ploni almoni. That's how he says it. He says, and I sent my men to Ploni Almoni. I can't even tell you where it is. Like Ploni Almoni, I sent them to, to Topeka. He said he lies. Why does he lie? Let's say he says, I'm on the land from the king.
So they might send him away.
Maybe they'll send him away. Or, what's the other reason?
He doesn't want to...
Some people know where he is.
He doesn't want...
Oh, okay, but...
I'm thinking more like he doesn't want a badmouth show in any way.
Well...
He started mentioning that he's running from the king. People start asking why. He's a war hero.
Any other reasons? There's another reason. Another obvious reason.
They return men.
Oh, no, I mean, that's one reason. But I'm thinking the opposite reason. He doesn't want to implicate them.
Mm.
He doesn't want them to have to take sides. The coin is supposed to be in the middle. Mm-hmm.
They don't know anything, they can't...
Right, it's better to lie, they don't know anything, so they gave me boy, big deal.
He needs to slip out, he can slip out.
Correct. Okay, so he doesn't tell, he doesn't want to get them embroiled in his whole problem. If the king comes along and says, well, why did you give food to, why did you help him? Why did I help him when he's your chief of staff? Sounds very plausible. Pasuk Dalet. So David is famished. He says, all right, so you're holding five breads, give me them. Oh, or whatever you got, I don't care. Give me the bread. So the Kohen says, no, this isn't any old bread. These are the lechem hapanim. He had just pulled the bread off of the shulchan. These are not any old bread. Ki im halechem kodesh, yesh. We have holy bread. Said, but you have to have not, you have to be tahor. So you cannot have been with a woman. Vayan David et hakohen vayomer lo. So David said, ki im isha utzara manu, ki tmos yosom. So I haven't been with a woman in 3 days at least, so don't worry. Bitteiti, from when I left. Vayi yukleh hane'arim kodesh. He says that my man's things are kodesh, are holy. Hu derecho, v'afki hayom yigdash bekeli. Hu derecho means, and the bread, he's saying, Rashi explains that what he's saying is, the bread is no longer kodesh anyway. So basically, give me the bread. Even though today it was on the shulchan, nonetheless, even though today it was on the table, on the show table, nonetheless, since you took it off now, you could give it to me. But actually, David was right. The halacha is that way. Lechem hapanim. Once you take it off, where does it go? You know, the showbreads and the Beis HaMikdash, right? So what they would do is they would bake new bread once a week. And the new bread would switch with the old bread. So what happened with the old bread when they took it off?
After a week, it wasn't stale.
What?
Wasn't stale.
Good question. What happened to lechem hapanim?
Didn't it burn?
It didn't age.
It did not age. Not only didn't it age, the Midrash says that a miracle happened, that not only didn't it age, it stayed warm, fresh out of the oven.
For a whole week.
Wow. It was warm. It was steaming as if they had just baked it. That's pretty good. Okay. There was a red, nobody ever told them that they had like a red one of those heat lamps up in the left on the pan. Right. Okay. Vayitem lo ha-kohen kodesh. So the Kohen gave him the kodesh. Ki lo haya shem lechem ki im lechem ha-panim ha-misavim b'ifnei Hashem v'asum lechem chom b'yom hilacho. Right? Because all they had taken off was the lechem ha-panim, the show bread. Right? And to place hot bread but on the day that it was taken off. And we know that's how it was done. In fact, the halacha is that the lechem hapanim was this flat bread. People think that it was like looked like a regular. It was a flat bread with like, I don't know how you would describe it, like a little box kind of bread. Okay,
like a
and they would
bread.
What?
Like a deep dish kind of pizza kind of bread.
It was square, and as they would push one off, they would slide the other one on, so that there was never any time that there was not any that there would, the bread wasn't on the table. In addition, part of the service people also don't realize was that they poured incense on the lechem hapanim. So when you ate it, not only did you eat bread, it was spicy and delicious. Okay, so all of you are licking your lips, I can tell. Okay. Pasuk Chet. V'sham ish me'avdei Shaul b'yom hahu ne'etzar lifnei Hashem. At the place, there was a man from the service of Shaul ne'etzar lifnei Hashem. How do they translate? Ne'etzar means to be stopped, held back.
Lingered.
Lingered before God. Ushmo do'eg ha'adomi.
Detained before the Lord.
His name was Doeg Ha'adomi, the Edomite. Abir Haroim Asher Mesho'u. Abir Asher Mesho'u. Abir Haroim means literally, quite literally, Abir Haroim means the strong of the shepherds. Okay? We're not going to get into it today, but there's a very strong issue to try to understand, which is, who was Doeg? We're going to see the role Doeg has, but it's a very heavy role. And it's clear that...
He mentioned much earlier...
We mentioned him in a midrash.
Right.
Yes, but we haven't yet come to him. Right? Doeg is going to play a very, very prominent role. Okay? So there was this guy that was a servant of Shaul, and it's clear that Doeg knows who David is, and it's clear that he knows that that's supposed to be there. Ayomer David Achimelech. So then David says, V'in yesh kol tachat yadcha chanit ocharev. Oh, by the way, got any weapons? Now remember we learned at this time, how many people had weapons? We learned this a while ago. Anybody remember? Where are the weapons? Plishim have all the weapons. Right? Why? How?
Because they're in the Iron Age.
And they control the metallurgy. They control the metalworks. So, if you have a weapon, you weren't quickly going to give it up. So he goes, you got a weapon? Ki gam charbi v'gam keilai lo lakachti v'yadi ki hayad ra hamelech nachutz. The king, he rushed me out so quick. I didn't even have time to put on my gun, my sword. Vayamar HaKohen, so the Kohen says, Cherev Galyat HaFlishti, Asher Hikita Be'emek Ha'ala, Hinehi Luta Basimla Acharei Ha'ifot. He says, yeah, by the way, you actually do have a sword. It's the sword of Galyat that you killed him with. It's your sword. Imotet Tzikach L'Kach. Ki Ein Acharei Tzula Tabazah. If that's the one you want, take it, because I don't have any other sword other than that. There's no sword like that one. Give it to me. Okay? So David got up and he fled from Shaul. So he comes to Achish, the king of Gat. If you look on your little map, you'll see he tried to travel all the way over to the land of the Plishtim. The land of the Plishtim is today what would be, I'm guessing, not so far away. Right. See Yerushalayim, it's not even on the coast, not even close. The smack in the middle of the country, when what would today be the country? Probably, I'm guessing, anybody know where Ramallah is?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, near there.
Ramallah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the Kibbutz Chabad.
Correct.
I was the Kibbutz Chabad for 4 years.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I used to go to get the Jewish class in Ramallah.
Really?
Honestly, there's a jail there too. Prison.
Yeah, this Ramleh is not the nicest of Israeli cities.
No.
Anyway, so he traveled to Gat. Gat, as you'll notice, where is it? What country is it in? Pleshet, the land of Christian. So David flees the country. Right? Because remember, the Jews don't control all of Israel at all. Not even close. Right? There's the land of Binyamin, there's the land of Yehuda, there's the land of Shimon. Right, it's divided into city-states. So he goes to this guy, Achish, the king of Gat. Okay? Pasuk Yud Bet. Vayamu avdei Achish elav. So the servants of Achish said, Halo ze David, melech ha'aretz. Halo azeh ya'anu b'mchalov neymor. Hey, this is David, the king of the world. This is the guy they said about him. He kasha uba alafav, David b'rivavotav. Shaul slay his thousands, but David slayed his 10,000. So David put these words in his heart. He became very fearful because of Achish Melech Gat. So David, he feigned
madness.
He was crazy. He began writing on the doors. and he started drooling. He started spitting on his own beard. Vayamar Achish alav adav, so Achish said, Hinei tiru ish mishtageya. This guy's nuts. Lama taviru oto elai. Why did you bring him here? Chasar mishugaim ani ki heveitem et zeh mishtageya alai. Do I not have enough mishugaim? Yeah. But you brought me another one. Hazeh yavo al beiti. That this guy's going to come into my house. So, and they obviously, they kick him out and they let him go on his way. Now, there's a lot of, there are a number of difficulties with this story. I'm getting a sense that people are like having a hard time, how should we say this, getting some energy. Like, if it was my wife's class, she'd make you all do jumping jacks or something. So you got to help me out here. Think about the story, okay? And there are a number of different and interesting questions that can come that come out of this story. So do me a favor, take a moment. Anybody have a pen? Got a pen? Nobody? Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyone?
Someone.
Yeah, you have one?
Yeah.
Okay, take out a pen and write down two questions that you have about this story. I'll lend you one. Henry, got a pen? Write it down in your head. Any, two questions. You got a pen?
I wouldn't know. Either.
You wouldn't know? You don't have any questions? It's a great story. Very interesting.
No,
yeah. What?
I don't either.
Nothing bothers you about the story?
Well.
Nothing bothers you about anything anybody does? It all makes perfect sense.
Why he keeps running from place to place so quickly?
Okay, right there. There are no bad questions.
Some wandering too.
The wandering Jew, yeah. There's one really overarching question.
Why did he go over there?
What's that?
Why did he go to God?
Why did he go to God?
That's the main question.
Why? Yeah, that is the main question. Question. Why is that the question? Why is that a question? Explain your question.
Why would he go to the enemy, you know? That's where they kill good. That's the home of Goliath.
Yeah, that's the home of Goliath. That's absolutely correct.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Goliath was a Plishti.
You think they really want to kill David over there?
You think that they would.
No, they don't. He's got the sword. We know they recognize Goliath's sword.
Oh, that's even better. Now, here's David, and you know what? What's he holding?
Perhaps they've forgotten about that. Oh, he's got his sword.
Right. You know, it wasn't that long ago. You know, guess what I brought? It's a little present. So I actually saw some portion that suggests that he hid the sword before he got into the city, that he wasn't that stupid. But even so, like to show up alone and unarmed in the city, that's crazy. Why in the world would he do that?
Why would he go there?
What?
Why would he go there?
Right.
Does he want Shaul to follow him there?
Is Shaul going to follow him there?
Or follow him anywhere he hears his name.
Is it actually Shaul that he's running from, or is that a servant of Shaul that he's running from?
Well, the servant isn't a danger to him. David's a tough guy. He can fight for himself.
But back here, it's not actually Shaul who he saw, right?
No, but he's running from Shaul. Why is he running from Shaul?
Because he's on...
Right, because the guy's going to go and tell Shaul.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Oh,
Evan?
Yeah. My big question is, why doesn't he just leave? Why does he have to make believe crazy and do this whole thing? I mean,
is he making it up or is he really flipped out?
Is he making it up or is he really flipped out? What's the problem with saying he's making it up?
What for? Why would he make it up?
Why would he think to make it up?
Because he learned under Shaul. Ah,
interesting. So now we're seeing something very, very interesting. Right? So, the very thing that haunts him is the exact same thing that saves his life.
He couldn't just say, you know, oh, this was a mistake, and leave in the middle of the night? He has to make up this one?
Leave in the middle of the night, they want to kill him. They're starting to talk about him in very threatening ways.
He can't just sneak out, or...
That doesn't sound so plausible, does it? Where they just, like, leave him go? Bye, see you later. Have a good night, we'll see you in the morning.
Then why did he go there in the first place?
Well, that's a good question. Anything else? Nothing else? Okay. First of all, I want to show you Very interesting midrash to see. The first question I had was, why did the Kohen only have the Lechem HaPanim? He goes to the Kohen, and he gets to the Kohen, the Kohen says, give me bread. And the Kohen says, I can't give you bread. Or can you give me bread? Well, all I have is this. Well, why don't you go home and get me some other bread? Good question, right? All you have is this. You haven't eaten anything else all day, all whole week, all month, nothing to eat other than Lechem HaPanim. Good question. Radak says, interestingly enough, Radak suggests that Nob was a city of only Kohanim. Since it's a city of only Kohanim, what type of food did they eat? What did they get? Sacrifices? What else? How did they get their produce?
That was all
Truma. Right?
But where are they getting it from? If
people have to come bring it. Okay. Well, I mean, anytime somebody comes, you come empty-handed, all of a sudden, whoops, I slipped in your korban. What can I tell you? That animal's no good. Go buy another one.
David,
I'm not saying that's going to happen. What?
Can't eat any of that.
Right, David is not allowed. What happens to a person who eats truma? A non-Kohen who eats truma? You all know, by the way, when Mashiach comes, you're going to need to know this information. Yeah. This is like serious, really serious information.
Nothing good.
Okay, let's assume very bad. Okay? So says the Radak, since all they had was Truma, the only thing David was allowed to eat, literally, is the Lechem HaPanim, the showbread. Yeah, but you would think, it's just a little strange, the whole story is a little strange, because you would think that the Kohanim would have food for other people. Mm-hmm. What did Doeg eat when he got to the Nov era Kohanim? There was no restaurant, there was no anything for anyone to eat?
Shepherd, he could have...
He brought his food. He obviously brought food. Yeah, but what did he have for lunch? You know what I'm saying? It's just very strange. By the way, shepherds don't kill their animals. When they're dead, they're not worth anything anymore.
Maybe Doeg had some animals he could...
He had Charles animals. Okay. Says the Midrash. Ve'ata ma'yesh tachat yadcha. I'm on page 1. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, said Rabbi Yochanan, Gedola, this is very interesting, not related to our story, just an interesting midrash to share with you. Gedola Ligima. Ligima is an achila shema achilim orchim. We'll call it a sandwich. Great is the merit of a sandwich for guests. Shehi merecheket et hakrovim. Okay? Because it distances the relatives. Meaning, Amon Umoav Krovim Yisrael, Shabau Milot ben Achi Abraham. Okay, meaning because they were supposed to give us food. Skip down a little bit. B'shigigata ola zadon, an accident on the third, fourth line, and accidentally not giving, a sandwich for the road. A shigiga means an accident. Ola zadon becomes intentional. Why? Shavei matzinu b'Yehonatan. We find Yehonatan. Sheshagag, he made a mistake. V'lo hilvau l'David shtei kikarot. What did he give David to eat on the way? What did Yehonatan give David to eat?
Nothing.
Nothing. So why didn't Yehonatan give David some food? You know why?
He
didn't think about it. I don't know. It's not clear why he didn't. The Amar Ravud Amar Rav. Said it in the name of Rav. Il malei hilvau. If Yonatan had accompanied David, if all you do is give him two rolls, no, neher got no ir hakohanim. No, the city of the Kohanim would never have been destroyed. Why? David and Doeg would never have spied on them. And then Shaul never would have been killed. Why? Because what's a historical progression? David goes to Nov. David gets food from Nov. Doeg goes and spies. Doeg goes and snitches. Right? So Saul comes back, and what does he do to the Nov Ir HaKohanim? Anybody know? He wipes them out. He kills every man. And so what happens to Saul now, obviously because he killed the Kohanim? He gets killed. And all because of what? Says the Midrash?
Yonatan forgot to give
him. All because Yonatan forgot to give him sandwich. It's just an interesting perspective that if you look back at the root cause of everything, there's always a cause of a cause of a cause of a cause. And you never know the effect one small kindness can have.
The butterfly batting its wings.
Yeah, but this is why I can see people. Right, but this is, but it's interesting. That's true also, but it's interesting in human nature. I think it's very, very true. If she would have been nice to me, you see very often what happens. I say something, I'm upset at my wife. So I snap at Bradley. Bradley thinks the rabbi is mad at him, so he yells at his mother. His mother gets upset, she's in a funk, she yells at her boss and gets fired. Right? How often does that happen in the real world? Happens all the time.
Sure.
Right? She has nothing to eat, so Bradley goes and robs a bank.
Chain reaction.
Chain reaction. It happens all the time. All because of why? Because I snapped at Bradley. Well, I should blame my wife. I didn't tell you I was mad at her. Okay. Next problem.
She forgot to give you a sandwich.
What? She forgot to give me a sandwich. Okay. Next problem. Test page 2. Very, very fascinating. Very, very fascinating midrash. A fascinating midrash. A long midrash. Very, very important midrash. So the midrash Yalkut Shimoni. Follow along. I don't have anything with vowels, but it's a fascinating midrash. What?
I'm sorry. He has not left it.
Okay. There we go. Line. By Yaakov David, by Yibrach, by Yom Ahu Mivnei Shaul. Hello, Zed David, etc. So the Midrash is coming to the whole thing. Zesha Amar HaKatu, that which the Torah says, as Hakol Asa Yafeh Bi'ito. Everything God does is Yafeh Bi'ito, is good in its time. Kol Masha Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'olamo Yafeh. Everything that God does in the world is yafeh. Nice. Amar lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So David said to God, Ribono Shel Olam, that's Rab Shah, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Kol Ma'ashis Shashisa Be'olamecha Yafeh. Everything you did in the world is good. Chachma Yafeh Min HaKol. Wisdom is good, better than everything. Chutz Min HaShtush. Except for insanity. What in the world, what good is an insane person? Adam Mahalech Mashuk. A man will walk in the market, the Korea Begadav. He tears his garments. Vahani Tinokos Misachkimbo. Kids are ranking on him. Virati Macharav, and they're running after him. Vahal Misachkin Alav. Zeno Lefanecha. That's nice. So David says, I understand God, everything in the world, except the madman. I don't understand the madman. How could it be? Now, if you look at the Midrash, especially in this place, what is David really, really complaining about?
Shaul.
Bingo. David is being persecuted by a crazy man. Mm-hmm. It just so happens that this crazy man happens to be the king of the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. So he says, in a way, David is saying, God, I don't even blame Shaul. And you get that sense throughout the whole. He doesn't blame Shaul. He runs away from him. He doesn't want to kill him. He's not my enemy. He's a victim. The poor man is sick. So David says to God, I understand it all. Everything makes sense to me. The trees, the birds, everything. Except why did he make him crazy? It doesn't make any sense. There seems to be no benefit from that at all. What?
Didn't God punish him for it?
Let's read on in the Midrash. Follow him up. Add more sheets if you want. Line 6. Amar, fourth word in this line 6. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeDavid. David, Ashtus ata kore taga. You're upset about shtus, about foolishness? Chayecha shetit shdarech lo. Chayecha means by your life, I promise, you're going to need it. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God said to him,
until he saved himself later.
Yeah. You're going to be so upset and so distressed that you're going to pray to me that I make you crazy. Lo asa David. David said no. Didn't do it. Then God said to him, you can pray to me now or you can pray to me later. You're going to lose your mind now or you're going to lose your mind later. So David said, no, I'm not going to do it. So why did David, in this midrash, why does David run to the Prishtim?
Went a little crazy for a second.
No.
He was
the spite guy.
What? No.
To get away from Hashem, the
praise. Right, to run away from God.
He's going to run away from God.
Well, he's going to run away from Israel. Run away from God. God says you're going to go crazy. I mean, it's a terrifying thing, by the way. You know, it's a frightening thing. God says you're going to lose your mind, and you're going to like it. You're going to appreciate it. It's going to be a good thing. You know what I would say? God, you might be God, but it doesn't sound like a good idea. Vayakam David vayibrach vayomahu mivnei Shaul vayavor el Achish. So David runs away. Where does he run to? He runs to Achish. Line 9. Omer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So God says to him, Achish is the king of Gat. David, etel Achish ata olech? David, you run into Achish? Et mol haragta et Goliath. Yesterday you just killed Goliath. V'halachta hayom etel Achiv v'charbo v'yadecha. And today you're going to go right next to his brother with the sword in your hand.
Achish was his brother?
Achish was, well, one second. The Achiv, Achish. The bodyguards, Achish's bodyguards, were the brothers of Goliath. Goliath's brothers were the bodyguards of Achish. Hare adayin lo nishtavka damo shel Goliath. The blood of Goliath isn't dry even yet. So what is God saying to him? David, you're running away from me, because why?
You don't want to be insane.
You don't want to be crazy.
But you're crazy.
What are you, crazy? I mean, it's interesting. None of the Mepharshim comment on it, and I haven't seen anybody. I didn't look at the Barbara, no, I'm sure he talks about it. Nobody knows. Why in the world is David running to Achish? And you don't usually see it like this. The Midrash is like, what in the world is he doing? It doesn't make any sense. And you know what? So what's the answer of the Midrash, really? Where is he going to go? He has to run away from God, in a sense. He's running away from his fate, as it were. Continues the Midrash. Line 11. Kevan Shaddai, love. So when they got to him, to Achish, Bo etzel Achish ve'amru lo neharog l'mi shaharag es achenu. So the people, the brothers, came to the king and said, well, we got to kill him. This is also interesting in Lawrence of Arabia. When you want to take care of a blood feud, you had to ask permission from the warlord. You can't just kill anyone. You have to get rishus. And usually he would give it, because that's the rule. Amar lehem Achish. Achish says, lo milchama haita. It was war. V'ilu harag achechem oso. Lo milchama hayargo. And if your brother had killed him, it was war. V'achsav shaharach zeh. Hey, but he killed you. He killed your brother. Kach hitan lo achechem. Didn't your brother make a condition? Im yuchal lihilachem iti v'hikani. Let's see who can take me. Come on, bring it on. So he did. So Amrulao, so they said to him, line 15, the very beginning of the line. Im kein, if so, amod mechis acha, shahamalchus l'david. So the bodyguard said to him, if we can't kill him, you make our king, you get up. Because he'll be our king instead. Okay, enough. V'chein hu omer, as it says, halo ze David melech ha'aretz. This is David, the king of the world. V'anachnu nieh abadim lo. We'll be slaves to him, not to you. David. Then David got afraid. Why? Because his presence now wasn't a threat to the brothers, it was a threat to the king. Kings don't like that. He killed David, the Palel Omer. So all of a sudden David got religion again, and he begins to pray. Master of the universe, answer me. So God said, okay, David, matam levakesh. What do you want? Tell me, David, what do you like? What can I do for you? Give me a little of the stuff he told me about before.
A little what?
A little of what that stuff we were talking about.
The insanity?
Yeah, a little insanity. Give me a little. Hit me with a finger. Okay? Amar lo, v'lo amarti lecha, didn't I tell you? V'hashdus atam levakesh. Asha atzmo kishot tehazeh. He made himself like a fool. Kosev al hadulasos. He was writing on the doors. Achish melech gat, mukhiyav nimeh ribo v'ishto chamishim. He started writing on the doors. The king owes me $100,000 and his wife owes me $50,000. That's it. I don't know why it says that, but it's interesting. Ubito shal achish haita shota. He says, but there's another piece of information you need to know, so it's a midrash. Achish's daughter was insane.
She was insane.
V'haisa mish tzoekes u'mishtate bifnim. She was screaming in her insanity from inside. V'david tzoek u'mishtate bachutz. And David was screaming from his insanity on the outside. Amalahem Achish, the Achish says, Yodi Matem Shechas Ashoti Mani? You guys know, you think I need any more Meshugayim in my house? Shenem Bar Chashem Meshugayim Mani? But oh, shot. What? Meaning the poor guy, the poor guy, his own daughter was insane.
Wow.
Says the Midrash. And that's why it's interesting, the language is Chashem Meshugayim. Don't I have enough crazy people? That's what the Pasuk says. But oh, Shashah, Samach David Simcha Gedola. Right? He had this great joy, and the craziness, the insanity left him from his joy. Hadahu dichsiv, that is what is written, Avarcha es Hashem b'chol eis. I will bless God at all times. What do you do with a midrash like that? It's a long midrash, but a very, very important midrash. What happens from the beginning of the story to the end of the story? So David, we clearly know, runs to the Kohen. And the Kohen can't help him. How does he know? When does he discover the Kohen can't help him?
When Doeg
is there. You notice, by the way, when does he ask for the gun? When does he ask for the sword?
Usually after she's Doeg.
If she's Doeg, David says, I got to get out of here. But he had plans. It's clear that he plans to run to the city of the Kohen. He'll slip in. Nobody bothers him. Nobody bothers him. He can hide out and we'll see. All of a sudden, he sees Doeg. Just by the bad luck, there's a guy there. There's a, you know, Doeg Adomi, a servant of Shaul. And he's like, I gotta get out of here. He runs. Where do you run? You can't run to the Kohanim. He can't run home. We're gonna see. Where do you run? What?
Some place where you Shaul isn't.
The last place the guy's gonna expect you. So he runs to a place that's a little crazy. How is he feeling? What's his mental state when you're running away?
Not good.
What?
Not good.
Not good. Not good about what?
You don't feel secure.
You ever had... Let's look at what's happened to him. Okay? Look at what happened to him. He beats Goliath. Let's just take it to a short timeline. Hello, everybody. Not that late yet. He beats Goliath. Right. Then what? Starts fighting wars, and
people start talking about him.
He wins. People start talking about him. More successful, more successful, more successful. All of a sudden, the king starts suspecting him. And before he knows it, right, first the king throws a spear at him. Then he runs away. King brings him back. Runs away again. Finally, this, you know, nothing seems to be going right. Finally, meets with the king's son. The king's son tells him, there's nothing I can do for you. So he says, okay, I'll run to the Ir HaKohanim, the city of the Kohanim. He runs to the city of the priests. And what happens?
They can't help him.
Can't help him. Where do you go? How are you feeling now?
Close to the enemy.
You have no options.
No, but you have no options. And, by the way, you tried to go to the prophet, to Shmuel, to God. Nothing. You tried to go to the city of the Kohanim. Nothing. Who are you mad at?
God.
Come on. What did you anoint me for if it wasn't for this? Why am I running away? Where am I running to?
So you run away from God.
Or... I just thought of something else. Why else would he run to God?
To force God's hand?
I don't know. I'm throwing this out. You can tell me if you agree or not. It's better to fall in the hand of your enemy than the hand of your friend. Whatever happens, happens. He doesn't understand. So everybody knows, by the way, you might recognize from there's a Mizmor in Tehillim that would say every Shabbos. That's related to this story. No one? No one's here for Psukkah D'Zimra?
I'm here physically.
You're here physically? Yeah. If you look, by the way, on page 3. We're not going to be hoping right now, just the beginning. You might recognize it. The David b'shanoto et ta'amo lifnei avimelech v'yigarshehu v'yelech.
In the morning.
Okay. David b'shanoto et ta'amo, when he changed his demeanor before Avimelech, v'yigarshehu v'yelech. I just noticed a problem here. I have to see if anybody has a solution to it. It says, Lifnei Avimelech. It's an interesting question. It's not Avimelech, it's Achish, because Avimelech is the king of... one second.
Achimelech. Achish is it just the name for any of the Philistine kings.
Really? Okay. Maybe you'll say that. So, we're going to see what he says in that chapter of Tehillim. But this is after, by the way, this is after he's done, after he got out. Turn back to page 2 for a second.
Page 2 on the bottom over here. Achish Kingo's Gossip. Achish is referred to as Abimelech.
Good.
Was the title given to all
Thank you very much. Very good. So that solves that problem. Page 2 at the bottom. L'metzeach maskil l'David. L'metzeach to the chief musician, a maskil of David. B'vo do'eg ha'adomi v'yagei l'sha'ul v'yomer lo bo David o'beit Achimelech. We're not aware of Tehillim Nun Bet. You know, that's one we only read every 2 months when we get around to it. When David was running away from Shaul because Doeg was the one who caught him, he's running away. And what does he say to God when he's running away? Listen to what he says. Mati talel bira'ah ha-gibor, chesed el kol hayom. Why boastest thou thyself of evil, O mighty man? The love of God endures for all time. Havot tachshav b'shonecha kitar militash oser miyah. Your tongue devises mischief like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Ahavta ra mitov, sheker midaber tzedek selah. You love evil more than good, and lying rather than speaking righteousness, selah, forever. How does David sound here?
Bitter.
Really bitter. Really angry. You can't believe it. Ahavta kol divei vala lashon mirma. You love devouring words, a deceitful tongue. Gam el yitatzcha lanetach yichatcha v'yisachecha me'o'el v'sheirashcha me'eretz chayinzela. God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away, pluck you out of your tent, and root you out of the land of the living. V'yiru tzadikim v'yirau v'allah v'yishchaku. The righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Who's he mad at? Everything. He's mad at Doeg, but he's mad at everything. This is unbelievable. I can't catch a break. Nothing seems to be going right. I run away, they find me. I try to hide, my wife has to send me out the window. I'm running away from the king, I finally go to the city to call him, and what happens to me? Someone finds him. And he's going to slander me. You just get a sense, he's just bitter. He's angry, and he's bitter. Pasuk Tet, Hinei ha-geber lo yasim elokim, ma'uzo b'yiftach b'rov ashro ya'oz b'havato. Lo, this is the man who made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust it. I trust. By the way, it's batachdi. What does batachdi mean? I trusted in the love of God forever and ever. I will give thanks to thee forever because you have done it. I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. So he ends on like a positive tone, a little bit. Mm-hmm. But he's running away from this guy, and he's just like, I can't believe this. This is the most unbelievable thing. I can't catch a piece of luck. Very bitter. And now you understand the beginning of the Midrash. Right? David, at the beginning of the Midrash, is running away. He's questioning. I don't understand what's going on. Why is this happening in my life? So he questions, and the questioning is through the foolishness, through the insanity of Shaul. Shaul is insane. This whole thing is insane. And God says to him, you're going to appreciate the insanity one day. Not only are you going to appreciate the insanity, you're going to become insane to appreciate insanity. So what happens? He goes down to God, and he realizes the only way out of it
is to feign madness.
It's to feign madness, and he does. Okay, so look what happens when he gets out of it. Look at his reaction. Page 2. The David. When he changed his demeanor before Abimelech, and Abimelech kicked him out. You ask the question, why did he have to change his demeanor? Because Abimelech would have killed him. Mm-hmm. So Abimelech said, I'm not even going to waste my energy on this guy. He's crazy. He kicks him out, throws him out. So what does David say? It's interesting. I bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be in my mouth. My soul will praise God, the grapes. No, Anavim is the vet. Anav is a humble one. We'll rejoice. Do I have to translate that? I sought out God and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. He beat you 11 haru, pnehem al yachbaru. Right? Look at Israel, are we? They looked at him and are radiant. Their faces should not be ashamed. Go through the whole thing. The whole thing is one after the other, after the other, after the other, praise of God. Did you say anything about his ordeal, about going crazy? It seems a little unusual, out of place, right? We understand the last one when he's running away from Doeg. We can understand how he's feeling. This makes no sense.
But it might be that he did it thinking to himself, I'm going to do this, but knowing my luck, it's not going to work, and I'll die.
Do what? Feign craziness?
Yeah. Knowing everything.
Now, by the way, I believe that he didn't just fake it.
That's what I was going to say.
You can't fake it.
Maybe he was really insane and he saw clarity through his sanity.
Right. Meaning, I don't think you can fake it. He asked God to make him crazy. He asked God to lose his sanity.
Sincere, you have to be.
Correct, you have to be. And it's interesting, he says, in his joy at his insanity, he came out of it. In a sense. So all of a sudden he comes out of it, and everything is now clear to him. What's clear to him? The insanity of Shaul is clear to him, and his own insanity is clear to him too.
And all the things he had to go through.
Correct. Meaning, he said, until now, I didn't think there was a plan. And that's really what it was all about. God, it's all craziness. It's all nuts. It makes no sense at all. And you see, by the way, his bitterness when he's running away from Doeg. That's what he says. It doesn't make any sense. The whole thing is nuts. What's going on? There's no plan. The wicked do well, and I'm running away from Shaul, and he's crazy, and this guy Doeg is going to turn me in. He should die, and they should all die, and everybody should die.
It's also notice the language that he uses when he's speaking with the priest. It's very sharp. And
he is very sharp. It's interesting. Give me the food.
It's rude.
Yeah, he is rude. It's actually interesting. Very interesting.
Why didn't he kill Doeg?
He's running away from Shaul.
He doesn't want to kill people.
Doeg didn't do anything. He actually doesn't want to. Right. We'll see later on. He doesn't want to kill people. He doesn't want to start a civil war. But it's just very interesting. At the end, when he finally gets out of, and he sees that his insanity had a purpose. So if his insanity has a purpose, then every insanity has a, then his insanity has a purpose. What's the purpose? Sometimes you have to be insane. How did you say it?
His insanity is what made him see the clarity.
Correct. Sometimes you have to degrade yourself to the lowest level. You have to knock yourself all the way down
before
you can rise up. I have a book by Rabbi Ariel on this. He says, we see it a lot of times, other examples. Moshe Rabbeinu, he grew up in the house of Paro, and he runs away and becomes some shepherd in the middle of Midian for 80 years, 60 years, however many it is. What's he, a shepherd in the Midian? Well, he's nothing. He used to be in the house of Pharaoh, now he's nothing. What happened to Yaakov? Yaakov Avinu, he grows up in the house of Yitzchak. He runs away, and then his father-in-law is persecuting him until his father-in-law does a house-to-house search looking for things in the most degrading and demeaning way possible. It's interesting that the Midrash says, he quotes, there's a Midrash, the Gemara says, that the Melech HaMashiach, he's going to sit outside the gates of the city with the beggars and the paupers before he becomes the king. The idea being that you have to knock yourself down, that this insanity is there for a purpose. It's there for a reason. And that he can't just rise up to become the king. He has to grow into the kingship. He has to become who he's going to become. And the way to do that, and the way he's going to accomplish that, is through his adversity. His adversity is going to be what makes him great.
Start at the bottom.
Start at the bottom, work your way up to the top. And as bitter as he was going down to God before he became crazy, as soon as he sees the light, everything makes sense now. This is really, it's interesting. We spoke about last week that it was a turning point, that there was no turning back. There was no going back to Shaul. But he hadn't reconciled it within himself. He's still running away. He's still running away from Shaul. So he runs away from Shaul to Nov, and then he runs away from Shaul to God. And he tries to run away from his problems. And what God says to him is, you can run away from the problems, but you're never going to overcome them until you come back and you confront them. And then it all becomes clear. And so now you understand, it's interesting, by the way, when you look at the David B'Shan Otoa Ta'amo, look at the beginning of each pasuk. The beginning of each pasuk on page 3. How does it go? I mean, you'll notice in the art scroll, they also point it out. Right? Avarcha et Hashem Cholei. Starts with an Aleph. Hashem, he's
Al Ma'al Nafshi. All the way through.
All the way through. Right? Not only is he praising God, he's praising God with a sense of order. Before it was all mishmash, all jumbled. Now he says, I'm going to praise God, and I'm going to do it keseder. to show that I understand that God has a way, and He has a hand in everything. And even when it seems insane, that insanity is there for a purpose. And that's really what the Midrash is trying to tell us. David looks at God and says, "Why is this happening to me?" And God comes to him and says, "Even if you don't see it and you don't understand it, even if you can't understand the crazy man, he's there for a reason." And sometimes that crazy man is you, even if you don't think you're crazy. And I think that that's there's a lesson for all of us also. It's not just David there. You know, we all on our own level go through, I would call it,
the downs in life.
The downs in life, mm-hmm. Right? The experience of David. You know, the bitterness and the upsetness. And the questioning, and we say, why do I need this for?
Isn't that the story of our people?
Well, it's the story of us individually, for sure.
I mean, it's no different.
And because Baruch Hu says to us, in a sense, yeah, you're going to go through the downs, but the downs are there to bring you up, to raise you up. And that's a struggle that all of us go through, but David goes through even worse than us. It's something that he models for each of us. Okay, we'll stop there.